A Million Crawling Thoughts a Minute. Part 1 of the Numbering the Thoughts of You series. By Darcy Lindbergh. Read by Crazy Fangirl. Sherlock is lying on the ground. He is lying on the ground and his hip is digging into the pavement and someone is squirting bot blood in his hair. He is lying on the ground listening to the impeccably timed screams. 1, the woman on the corner. 2, the group of teenagers crossing the street. 3, the man by the ambulance garage. And Sherlock is lying on the ground and John will just be standing up. The blood on his face is warm. John was never meant to be here. Sherlock is lying on the ground, pressing down hard on the squash ball in his armpit, and for God's sake, John was never meant to be here. There are 13 likely ways this scenario could have played out, and even though 2 had anticipated John's arrival at some point, none had anticipated that Moriarty might shoot his own brains out, and none had planned for John to be standing there when Sherlock jumped. Mycroft is in a black car somewhere, rerouting and rerouting and rerouting because Moriarty wasn't supposed to be completely and totally deranged, and John wasn't supposed to be there. John would think that was stupid. Of course, Moriarty was completely and totally deranged. There's always something. The blood is soaking through his coat where he's lying on it. It smells like iron and salt, and Sherlock resists the urge to pull himself up and out of it in horror. There are 3 pints and a little extra of his own blood on the pavement. It had to be his, and it had to be warm, and it had to be inexact to fool John. Just in case. He is lying with his face pressed into his own warm blood, but he's not convinced that is what is turning his stomach so viciously. Sherlock knew that sending John back to Baker Street with a falsified phone call would only keep him away for so long, because John is intelligent and he would figure it out. Sherlock had timed out how long it would take for John to converge with him on the pavement. Every cab route versus every plan that might be carried out up on the roof. He had timed it so that every scenario, every single scenario, the only witnesses to the jump were going to be a single CCTV camera and 17 well-scripted members of London's homeless. But no matter how hard he tries, he just can't control everything. Sherlock is lying on the ground, and John wasn't meant to be here, but John saw. Oh, God. John saw. Sherlock didn't know what else to do. Didn't know where a sniper could be, but he did know that if John had come back to Bart's, the sniper must already be here, too. And he had already sent out Lazarus. And the plan was already in action. He couldn't risk it. John was never meant to be here, but John is safe. Mrs. Hudson is safe, and Lestrade is safe, and Sherlock is lying on the ground, ensuring their safety with every second he holds his breath. John was supposed to have been intercepted by Mycroft and sat down in 221B with Mrs. Hudson. They were supposed to have sat on the sofa together and held hands when Mycroft said, "I'm afraid I have some bad news." And Mycroft was going to make tea and say it very quietly. So it would be a sad thing, a tragic thing, but also a soft thing. John was supposed to have waited and stayed. Barring that, John was supposed to have arrived on the scene after Sherlock had already been put into place on the pavement, or at least, if not already, in the morgue. The The basilisk was there for that possibility. If John Watson arrives on the scene while Sherlock is still on the pavement creating the terribly necessary CCTV record, knock him down and give a shout when he stands. As a warning. The basilisk was the only male spectator who was meant to have shouted. Sherlock had taken cabs to Bart's and back a dozen times. If he had done it once, he knew how long that trip should have taken, and there shouldn't have been enough time for John to get back. But Sherlock admittedly was not especially familiar with the time it takes to recover from someone gripping his hand tightly as they shoot themselves in the head. He did not expect it to be so unsettling. He did not expect it at all. He did not expect John to turn around immediately upon seeing Mrs. Hudson healthy and whole, which he must have done. He did not expect John to understand immediately that he had been sent away so that Sherlock could go do something he would not approve of. No doubt John would not approve of throwing oneself off a building. Sherlock is lying on the ground thinking all these thoughts against the backdrop of John's shout still ringing in his ears. He opens his eyes at the last possible moment because John is here, and he can already tell it's going to hurt, but he has to see him one last time.
"I'm a doctor. Let me come through,"
a voice says. It's John, but not John. As in, it must be John. Sherlock can hear that it's John, but there is something monstrously wrong with his voice. Let me come through, please. The crowd around him is trying to keep John away. They are acting in concert, exactly as they are directed to act, an orchestra of little gestures and phrases and the pulling away of John, no matter when he arrives on the scene. If he arrived on the scene, keep him away if you can. Do not let him touch if you can. Above all else, do not let him take Sherlock's pulse at the neck.
"No.
He's my friend," John is pleading. And Sherlock is not breathing, but he suspects that's not why his chest hurts so much. "He's my friend. Please." John's fingers wrap warm around his wrist, and the world is both spinning and static at the exact same moment. The squash ball in his armpit hurts. There is the sound of a rolling stretcher. Someone pries away John's fingers.
"Please, let me just..."
John slumps, joins Sherlock on the ground.
"I'm sorry," he thinks desperately. "You were never meant to be here."
But he leaves his eyes open wide, staring as someone rolls him over to lift him onto the stretcher. He catches the briefest glance of John, crumpled on the pavement.
"Jesus. No.
This is it. This is the last moment. They're going to lift him up and away, and he might never see John again.
"I might love you," Sherlock thinks wildly,
because he's got nothing left to lose by thinking those words. He's been trying not to think them for months now, because he couldn't think them. He couldn't bear to think them and look at John, to think them in front of John. But this is it. This is it. His last opportunity to think them. John will never know he's thought them anyway. Sherlock is being lifted off the ground, and all he can leave behind for John is the thought he is broadcasting so fiercely. I don't know for sure, but I might love you. Please be safe.